Well, I have had a wonderful time these last few days. It's been so much fun for me. And I love being with college students, and I just love you guys. Now, I want to make something really clear to you. No animals were harmed in any of my illustrations. Just so you know, Jake lived a long life. He was even caught one day. The food bag was left on the floor in the kitchen, and he was even caught one day eating his way out the other end. So he's okay, so I just wanted you to know that. Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight is going the distance. What I mean by going the distance is that your intent will be to walk with Jesus for the rest of your life. And I've tried to give you some things that I believe will help you do that. And the first one was on knowing who God really is and relating to the real God, not the one someone else has told you about, not the one that you made up in your own mind, but the real God. And knowing that is going to help you to go the distance. And then number two is knowing what to do when you mess up, because there are going to be a lot of mess ups. And you need to know what to do with that. If you know what to do with that and how to, what was that again? What are the three things?
When we mess up, we confess.
Okay, let's hang on. Number one, when you mess up.
We confess up, we get up, and we go on.
Okay, so that would be the second thing that's really going to help you to go the distance, to finish well. And tonight I'm going to talk to you about a few others, sort of ones that I've kind of chosen. This is not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination, but some that I think are really important if you're planning on going the distance. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. That's what you want, isn't it? Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes!
Because if you haven't decided that's what you want to have happen, you're sure not going to do it. So you're going to have to lay that down first. Now, these are just some essentials. You see there on your sheet that these are just some essentials for gaining and maintaining traction. If you're going to go the distance, it's important that you gain traction and you continue to keep that traction going. When I went out to my car this afternoon, I was hoping that the roads weren't slick. I didn't buy a 4x4 because I don't live in country where I need a 4x4. But up here, you do. So I was hoping that I could get traction. When we go home tomorrow, we'll be hoping for that so we don't slip and slide all over the road. And we don't want to slip and slide all over our life, okay? So the first one I want to talk to you about is nailing down where you stand with the Lord. Nailing down where you stand with the Lord. You can't be both confused and convinced at the same time. Let me say that again. You can't be both confused and convinced at the same time. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you failed the test. Now, there must be a time where you decided to surrender your life to Jesus and make him the Lord or boss of your life, that you're going to trust in him to make you right with God and not yourself. You see, somebody is going to pay for your sin, and it's either going to be you or Jesus. And you have to have you decided to give your life to Jesus and receive him as your Savior? You got to nail that one down. And if you're unsure about that one, in just a minute, we're going to talk about that. But before that, I want to read John 1, 12 and 13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. You see, everybody is a creation of God. But you become a child of God by choice. A choice that you make. Have you done that? You will not get traction if you're worried about that one. If you're constantly going back and forth, I don't know, you won't be able to get out of it. You won't be able to get off the line if you are not sure. And I've watched a lot of students and adults struggle with this, and that keeps them on the sidelines, not, and they may even know Jesus, but because they're confused about that, they don't ever accomplish much because they stay right there trying to decide that one. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to give you just a moment, because it doesn't take long, to give your life to Jesus. Or if you're unsure, nail it down right now. Don't go back and revisit this one. That is a waste. The enemy will pull that one on you. Stop it. Tonight, you're nailing it down. And when he brings it up or when you question, you can know, what is today? The 5th of December. I mean, it's December. Back to the future. The 5th of January, 2024. I nailed that down. If you're unsure, do it now. Okay? We're going to stop, and this will be the moment for you to do that. We're not going to go forward for a moment. Okay? Here we go. If you are sure, then thank Jesus that he's done that for you. But if you're unsure, nail it down right now. Drive a stake in the ground. This is it. I'm never revisiting this one ever again. Okay, now if you need more time with that, you need to talk to your director afterwards, do that or talk to someone about that afterwards. But don't get away, don't let this get away this evening. Now, if you've got doubts, you need to deal with those. You need to deal with your doubts. You see, you want to deal with your doubts. Now, how you can do that is, it's okay to have questions, it's okay to have doubts, but don't let them fester because they will crush you. They will eat you up. Seek answers. They're available. Don't just sit there and wonder about it. Talk to your director. Don't just talk to your fellow students. Ask God for guidance and talk to somebody who's been in the race a little bit longer to help you with this. Seek answers, they're available. So nail that down. If you've got doubts, then let's deal with them. There are answers available. You will not ask a question that someone else hasn't asked before you. Did you hear me? The question that you have, you are not having for the first time in the history of mankind. Someone else has had that question, and there is an answer for that question. Now, you maybe not get all the answers you want, but you'll have enough information to make a decision. So if you've got some doubts, get them figured out. Don't run the race. You know, if you're confused, you can't really get after it. So let's nail that down. Okay, so we've done that. Number two is to aiming for progress and not perfection. Aiming for progress and not perfection. Now, we talked a little bit about perfection and how perfection is kind of like a hamster wheel that you get on that and you keep running, you don't get anywhere, and the enemy will hold you hostage with perfection. You see, progress is growth's indicator. We need to have an indicator for growth, and that's progress. It's what Paul expected from himself. You see, he said in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's pressing on. He's making progress. Before that, in the verses, it says, not that I have already obtained all this or already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. See, this is what Paul expected of himself, is progress, not perfection, but to make progress. And some of you are little perfectionists, and you're driving yourself and everyone around you nuts. You need to stop that. Perfection is not attainable. Jesus was perfect. The only human that has ever walked the planet that was perfect is Jesus. You'll be perfect one day when you see Jesus, but now it's about progress. It's about making progress. And when you make progress, when you don't do that thing you've done for years, the first time you don't do it, that's progress. And see, progress is the key. It's what Paul expected from Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, be diligent in these matters. And he's talking to Timothy. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. It's what he expected of Timothy, to make progress. Not to be perfect, but to be making progress. And now, look, progress in the Christian life, it's a little different. Now, if I wanted to get back to where the cameraman is there, you see, the Christian life is two steps forward and one step back. And then it's two steps forward, and it's one step back. And it might be three steps forward, and then, you know, there's a step back. I just kind of mess up. You come to a deal like this, and I get all excited, I'm pumped up, and I'm ready to go, and I made a couple of steps of progress. And then when you get home, you see all your friends, you see your house, you see all the work you got to do, and you become discouraged, and you take a step back. Or you see somebody, and you get involved with them again, you take a couple of steps back. But the goal is to keep making progress. And see, I can get to the cameraman by making two steps forward and one step back. Now, perfection would say I could run all the way to him, but that's not going to be attainable. You see? And I could get to him by two steps forward and one step back. And that's how life is going to kind of be. But you keep going, see? It's what Paul expected of himself, his progress. It's what Paul expected of his disciple Timothy. And it's what's expected of us. In 2 Peter 3:8 it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow, make progress in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make progress in that. That's what's expected of us. God expects us to make progress, not to be perfect, but to make progress. And again, progress is often two steps forward and one step back. Three steps forward and one step back. Two steps forward and maybe two steps back. But we're making progress. We're getting traction. It's what the Lord is up to in our lives. Take a look at Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on unto completion until the day of Christ. We'll carry it on. That's movement. It's progress. It will continue on. It's what the Lord is up to in your life is progress. Hasn't he made progress in your life? Think about it. You're not who you used to be. Now, you may still do some of the things you used to do, but you're not that person anymore. In fact, if you've given your life to Jesus, you can act like the old person, but you can never be them again. Because you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. You can act like the old person. You ought to write that down. That's not in your notes. Did I say that before? You can act like the old person, but you can never be them again. And if you don't have their new notes, you need to have their notes, because you need to remember that. Number three, a third traction device is developing faithfulness in the mundane. Do whatever you do to honor Jesus. Now, the idea of mundane is the ordinary, the commonplace, or the routine. And you know what? Most of life is lived in what we might consider the mundane. Most of life is that. You're going to have to mow your yard. I hate yard work. I don't like it. I don't want to do it, and I hate it. Some people go, I love yard work, and I'm like, you got a fever, dude. I don't like it. But it's got to be done. You know? I don't like doing the dishes. But they pile up. Now, think about this with me for a moment. What is the most menial job that you've ever had? Now, think for me. I think one of the ones was between my freshman and junior year in college. I went to work at a paper mill. It was a recycle plant. So that was kind of cool, right? Yippee. And I was in the lowest totem pole job in the whole place. All I did was, when the paper came out in these huge spools, we pushed out thousands of pounds of paper. I would put a plug in the middle where they could be put on a spool, and I would weigh it, and I would push it out into another warehouse. That's it. Really mundane. And a lot of life is going to be lived in the mundane. You know, what are some of the mundane things that you have to do in your life? Somebody call out one. What?
School.
That might feel mundane, but I can guarantee you one day you'll have wished you did more of it, better at it.
Daily commute to work.
Daily commute. Laundry. How do you get all these dirty clothes? What?
Dishes.
Fishing?
Dishes.
Dishes. Okay. What?
Cashiering.
Yeah, I was a cashier at a grocery store too. Yard work. Plumbing. Taking out the trash. What?
Meal prep.
How about brushing your teeth? Now, some of you need to get better at that. I want all of us now to blow in the face of the person next to us. No, I'm kidding. Okay, come back. Let me reel you back in. You see, the thing is that you represent the Lord in all that you do. And the Bible tells us in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know, or that you could put bosses in there, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord that you are serving. Is it the Lord I was serving when I was pushing that paper out and getting major paper cuts, by the way? When you have fresh cut paper and you slip, yikes. Of course, there was a way to not be a problem. That was to buy a pair of gloves. But that was a little much. You see, God has a promotion system, and we are all subject to it. And faithfulness is the key. Do you remember Matthew 25, 23, when Jesus told the parable and he said, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. A few things. You see, God is kind of watching what you're doing on your job. And he may give you a better job, or you may get a worse job next time. You see, God has a system in which he's moving us up depending on our faithfulness, our being faithful to show up to work on time. You know, you represent the Lord in all you do. Don't ever be lazy. It reflects not only on you, but it reflects on Jesus. You know, some of you are going to go home at the spring break and you're going to pile up all your laundry and say, Mom, aren't you glad I'm home? I'm going to go out with my friends. See you later. And you've been trying to share Christ with them. And you wonder why they're not all that interested, because they don't see any change. Or you're home for a week and you've spent about an hour with your parents. And you're eating, but you're not doing any dishes. I'll stop. You know, don't be lazy. It reflects on you and Jesus. And when you are lazy and you've messed up, what do?
We confess up.
And then what do?
Get up.
And you move on. You might have to clean that one up. You might have to ask your mom that you're sorry that you haven't been, you've been such a lazy bum. You see, you're building a platform for who you are and how you will be seen right now. Right now. And not everyone you have worked for or ever will work for may deserve your best. But Jesus does. You see, we're working for him. We're different. As a follower of Jesus, giving your best should come out of you naturally, because what's in you ought to be what's coming out of you, out of that good root that's been planted. And when you choose to be lazy, you're really kind of stealing from your employer. I better get away from this one. You know, I didn't do everything right either. I did some things that showed up a few minutes late all the time, you know. Not real late, but late enough. I did stuff like that. I complained about jobs I had to do and different things. And I hear people complain about, it's really busy today. I don't like it. And I'll say to them, that's job security. And they go, what? Well, guess what? If you're not busy, probably you're going to go out of business. And then guess who doesn't have a job? You don't. But I can lead the parade of wanting an easy night at it, okay? I just have to choose not to be that way because I don't want to be known for that. Number four, investing your life in others, pouring out what's been poured into you. This is what you were made to do, what you were designed to do. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations. This is what you and I have been created to do, is to pour what we know into the lives of other people. It's your responsibility. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, now it is required of those who've been given a trust must prove faithful. And you and I have given a trust, Jesus, and to share him with the world around us. Your trust is not the whole world, but your trust is sure your sphere of the world, to help people come to faith and to help people walk in their faith, to pour your life out. And you know what? As life goes on, this will keep you fresh. It'll keep the machine oiled and keep you going. You, as you invest in other people's lives, it'll keep you fresh and excited. It'll keep you going. It'll keep giving you traction. Number five, running with a team. Running with a team. The enemy wants to get you away from the pack. There's security in the pack. When lions hunt, lions try to divide one of whatever it is they're hunting away from the pack. They don't want to attack the whole pack. They want to get one away, and then they can pick that one off easily. And if you think the enemy's not going to try that one on you, you are nuts. He's still trying to do it to me. And I can still fall for that. So you got to run with a team. You see, because life is long and hard. Life is a lot longer than you think it is. Let me tell you, I've seen more of it than I ever thought I would see. I'm older than I ever thought I would be. Never thought about it. But life's long and life's hard. Remember, Jesus told us in John 16:33, and this is an easy verse to forget about, in this world you will have trouble. And when we have trouble, we go, oh no, God, what happened? Were you looking? Where were you? But Jesus said, in this world, if you're going to have trouble, but he said, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Now, it's not that you're going to not have trouble, and I'm not trying to say that your trouble is not really trouble. You want to see trouble? No, your trouble's real trouble. So you don't want to treat it like it's not real trouble, but don't be so surprised by it when it hits you, because in this world, you will have trouble. And whatever trouble you're facing right now, that's trouble. But take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. This is why you got to run with a team. And if you aren't being challenged to get to know Jesus, to fall in love with him, the race of life will become too long, too hard, too discouraging, or too confusing. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:3, to consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, it's easy to grow weary and lose heart. You know, sometimes the difference between two really good teams is the one who maybe has exercised the most and they've got more endurance, or the one who has more heart. They are just going to push through. When the talent is equal, it could be about conditioning, but it's a lot about heart. Am I going to push through and make it happen? And trouble trouble is just a part of life and I don't like it. I don't like it. Nobody does. But it's a part of life. And some of the trouble I have in life has my fingerprints on it. I mean, I did it. I goofed up. I forgot to prepare for something. And all of a sudden, here comes this bill. Or I broke something because I didn't read. Do you guys ever have a big wheel? Do you remember big wheels? Yeah, those had the big wheel in the front. And, well, it says, well, you know, I don't know if all males are like this, but this male is. When all else fails, read the instructions. After I've tried everything else, well, I put everything together on this, and I got the back wheels on backwards. And it says in there, it says, do not put wheels on, they cannot be removed. Well, I got them off somehow. That's trouble I caused. But there is some trouble that's just going to come and find you. I had a wreck about a year ago where some people ran a yield sign, smashed into me in the back of my car, and somehow the insurance companies could not figure out whether, since they had a yield sign, they were at fault in hitting me. So I had to pay my $500 deductible. They said, well, we can't really tell. And I'm like, well, I can help you tell. I mean, this seems real obvious to me. That's trouble. I didn't do anything. I was just out on the road. And sometimes other people's sin is going to bleed over in your life and create problems for you. You just have to have an understanding that trouble happens and not be taken out by it, be destroyed by it. Now, it still hurt. It hurt my bank account. That's $500. Gone. I couldn't get a new TV. I didn't get to have a nice set of headphones. I didn't get to add something nice to my car. I just had to fix my car because they hit me. Now, there could be a time when I'll hit somebody else. See? And then I'm trouble. So we got it. But you just got to not let it take you out. And I see some people, when something happens to them, they're down for weeks or a month. Why, God, did you let this happen? And Jesus says, I told you you were going to have trouble. Why did you let this happen? I told you in this life you'd have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. But Jesus did not. I did not get a heavenly check in the mail for $500. Now, he's been very faithful and has shared a lot with me, so I'm not complaining. But what I am saying is, don't be taken out by trouble. That's why you got to run with a team, so you can get some perspective. Other people can help you to see that. And also because sin is tricky. Sin is just tricky, man. Now, Hebrews tells us in 3:12, and I'm just going to read part of this, 12 and 13, says, be careful so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Deceitfulness means trickiness. It's deceitful. It will fool you. And you can be taken out by the deceitfulness of sin, by the trickiness of sin. See, everyone needs someone who will encourage them to not give up, to keep going, and someone who will tell them the truth. And everyone needs a second set of eyes on their life, because one set is not enough, who can help us see sin coming, because sin will trick you. It will trick me. And we need to run with a team so that we won't be tricked. Because now we've been warned, sin is tricky. It's deceitful. It will fool you. You will even fool yourself. Check that one out. Somehow I'm able to fool me. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Man, we'll get off of that one. And also, because the enemy is always on the hunt. Your enemy is always on the hunt. He doesn't have to sleep. He doesn't take a vacation. He never takes a day off. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, stay alert and watch. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is on the hunt. And the writer of Hebrews is writing to believers. He is hunting you, and he is hunting me. and sin is deceitful. I needed a second set of eyes or a third set of eyes on my life so that I can get through this deal. I need to run with a team. I don't need to be running on my own. You don't need to be an independent Christian. It's me and Jesus. No. God has given us each other so that we can build each other up, encourage each other, cheer each other on, protect each other as we walk through this life, trying to obey Jesus, help people come to know Jesus, help people walk with Jesus, raise our families. We need a team of people around us. Now, let me tell you something. Here's an insight on the enemy. If he can't make you bad, he will make you busy. Write that one down. Some of you are going to become so busy that you won't have time for Jesus. You're going to allow your life to get so busy that you just don't have the time for the things of God. And if he can't get you to do something bad, he'll just make you busy. Because the outcome is the same. You end up in the desert. There's safety in numbers. And positive peer pressure is crucial to finishing well. You need some positive peer pressure. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds." How we might spur one another on. The idea of spur is cheer. How I need to think about how I can cheer Joe Ricks on to love and good deeds. How I can cheer him on to keep trusting Jesus. How I can cheer Clayton Bouillon on to keep trusting Jesus. All of us need somebody that's got a sweater with our letter on it. With a big S that says, "Go, Strap, go." Have you ever noticed at a ball game that the cheerleaders don't seem to know what the score is? I mean, they're out here cheering and doing all their thing, and my team's getting killed, and I want to go, "Hey, don't you see the scoreboard?" We don't want to cheer. We want to jeer our team. But see, the job of a cheerleader is to cheer them on. And you need to get the sweater with some of your friends' letter on it and just cheer them on. That they would just keep going. We all need somebody with a letter sweater with our letter on it. I have a friend, his name's Larry. Whenever I see him, Larry has something specific to tell me about what he sees God doing in my life and what God has done through my life. Do you think I like to see Larry coming? You betcha, because Larry cheers me on to love and good deeds. And I want to be that for people. I want to be an encourager. Life is hard enough. We need somebody who will take it upon them to cheer us on. And not just this wimpy stuff like, "You know, I just kind of like you. You're nice." Okay. Why? See, if you say you're nice, tell them why they're nice. If you like them, tell them why you like them. They can take the why to the bank. They can invest that in their life. The other doesn't mean much. Number 6, are you guys still with me?
Yes.
Establishing a relationship with a living hero of the faith. Establishing a relationship with a living hero of the faith. There's an interesting verse in Hebrews 13:7 that says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Now let's take a look at this. I want you to underline the word "consider." And I want you to underline the word "outcome." And I want you to underline the word "imitate." How you'll find a person like this is first you're going to consider the outcome of their way of life. You want to think about, meditate on, give some time to looking at this person and considering what? The outcome of their way of life. How are things working out for them? How is their faith working for them? And based on what you see there, you want to imitate their faith. You want to piggyback and ride on their faith. You ever piggybacked? You ever done those chicken things where you get in the pool and you jump on somebody's leg and do the chicken fights? They still call them that? You ever ride piggyback on somebody's back? Well, you want to piggyback on these people's faith. You want to imitate their faith. You want to do what you see them doing. So the Bible tells us what first to do, to consider, to think about. That isn't just real quick, but think about. Think about the people around you, the people who have poured into your life or talked to you about Jesus. Then consider the outcome of their life. How's this working out? Well, if it's working out pretty good or it has those indicators in it, then I could imitate their faith, begin to do what they do. And this needs to be someone that you can, number one, respect. Number two is know. It's hard to know people who wrote books. I can't really know them. Or somebody on a podcast that I can't really know. I need to have somebody that I can know where I can see what's going on here. You can be helped by people through books and messages and all that, but you can't be discipled by somebody like that. You can only be discipled by somebody you can know. So it needs to be a person you can respect, a person you can know, a person who's you can imitate, and a person that you feel like you can turn to in times of trouble. That when you've got a problem, after you call Jesus, and let me tell you something, always call Jesus first. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your best friend, not your husband, not your wife. You call Jesus first, and then you call them. This needs to be somebody that you could turn to and say, look, I'm struggling with this. Could you help me? Because you know they won't judge you. You won't feel judged, but you'll feel cared about. And you need to know somebody like this. And it's got to be somebody that you like or you enjoy. If you don't like them, then that person doesn't need to be that person for you. And there's some people in my life I think are just wonderful, but I don't really click with them. You know, it doesn't have to be somebody I don't dislike, but I just don't click with them. This needs to be somebody you kind of click with, that you kind of like, that you kind of really like to get to know. And you older people in the room, you need to make room for folks that they can sort of plug into your life. Someone you enjoy. Number 7, never giving up. Never surrendering. Making a decision that no matter what happens, I am going to never give up, never surrender. Even when I lose that ball game, I'm coming back the next night. If it's a doubleheader, I'm coming out of the locker room and I'm ready to go again. Now, you may knock me down for a while, but I'm getting up. You knock me down, I'm going to follow the way toward Jesus. If I fall down, I'm falling toward Jesus, okay? Never give up, never surrender. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. You see, the reason it says that is because we can become weary, tired, worn out in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We do not give up. I remember the first time I started a basketball game in high school. Man, I was pretty excited about that. Somewhere about the fourth quarter, I was out of gas. I mean, I was dogging it. And the coach said, strap us on! And I woke up, and I got back in the game. Sometimes you just need to be woken up. But you've got to make a decision before you face the battle. You've got to decide that I'm not going to give up. You can't decide it when you're in the battle. You got to decide it then too, but you got to decide it before that I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to surrender. I'm never going to give up on Jesus. I'm never going to surrender. And you need to decide that right now today. And by the way, well, it's always too soon to quit. Okay? It's always too soon to quit. And by the way, Jesus will never give up on you. Now, there are times when we will fall like Paul did. I mean, like Peter did. Peter denied Jesus. I mean, Peter had his chance at the spiritual Super Bowl, and he fumbled the ball. You know? The pass came his way, and he dropped it. But the Lord put him back in the game. Peter didn't put himself back in the game. In fact, Peter put himself on the bench. Peter took his uniform off, and he's headed out of the stadium. And Jesus was cooking breakfast out in the parking lot. Need some breakfast, buddy? By the time that was done, Peter suited back up and went back in the game. Now, if you got to pull aside for a minute or two, that's okay. But never give up. And never surrender. Failure is never final unless you let it be. I've had a wonderful time with you guys this week. And I believe in college students. I was one of you. And I've given you, how many things did I say? Nine. Seven on this sheet, but nine ways. What did I call this? Yeah, but below that there's... Yeah, I've given you nine essentials. May not be all of them, but there's this nine essentials to go the distance. Now, what I want you to do, and this may not be all of them, but I think these are some pretty significant ones for you. Or I wouldn't have talked about them. This is what I want you to do. I want you to, the time we're going to do now is I want you to look at your sheet and I want you to circle the number of the one that is going to be the hardest for you. And then I want you to pray and I want you to ask Jesus to help you with that one. Yeah, but there needs to be at least one. And by the way, you might want to circle also the one that's going to be the easiest for you, because that could turn out to be the hardest. But I want you to circle what one will be the easiest and what one will be the hardest. Okay, so look that over and do that. Which one of these essentials is going to be the hardest one for you to do? Hardest one for you to follow through on? If you really don't know and the person next to you knows you real well, you can ask them, but that's kind of sneaking out of the task. But some of us are very indecisive. I resemble that remark. What is it? What's the one that's going to be the most challenging for you? What's the one that's going to give you the most trouble? What's the one that's been the hardest for you in the past? If you can't think of one, what would other people say would be the hardest one for you? And now what I want you to do, has everybody kind of done that? If you haven't, we'll wait. But now what I want you to do is I want you to think through the time that Clayton and I have spent before you. And I want you to think about what is going to be a takeaway from this. What's going to be a takeaway from what Clayton spoke about and what I've spoken about? What's something you're going to take away from this? I mean, if you forget all the rest of this stuff, this is the one thing that I'm going home with. When somebody asks me, you know, you spent all that time up there, what'd you get out of that? You know, well, had a nice time, snowed. You know, got to see that guy, got to talk to that girl, you know, or I don't know. Like you tell your parents, I don't know. This will be something you can say and say with confidence, because those people need to know also, because maybe next time they want to come. So what's that takeaway? It could be more than one, but at least one. What is it? Take a minute for that, because you're going to do something with it in just a minute. So you got to play. Everybody gets to play this one. Even the ones of you who don't like anybody to tell you what to do ever. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them what your takeaway is. Go. And if you had a person on either side, then you get to do both. You figure it out. Do we have any time left, or am I out of time? Could I ask?
It's the last night. You can do everything.
Ask the band to sing another song,
yeah.
And have the people pray while not sing, but pray while they do.
Yeah.
Is this going okay? Is this good? Okay. Now turn to the person on the other side of you and tell them. You can tell me.
We're just talking about aiming for progress, not perfection. And then Clayton said something yesterday about stop being defined by your sin, be defined by your Savior.
Well, there you go.
Great ones, yeah.
Do you have a song you could sing, a soft song, while they meditate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe just you?
Yeah, I do that.
They're not going to sing with you.
Yeah.
You just play.
You want singing and music, or
you
just
can.
Music?
Whatever you want to do.
Okay.
But I want them to. Okay, come back, come back. Now, what we're going to do is she is going to play some music, and this is not for you to sing, but this is now for you to tell Jesus what your takeaway is. So this is your time to pray, to thank him for this time, to thank him for the people who brought you here, your directors, who've laid their lives down for you. And then to tell him what your takeaway is. Just talk to him. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're unsure, nail it down now. Don't go out of here not knowing. So this is a time where you're going to tell Jesus, thank Jesus for the people that God has placed in your life that brought you to this place, number one. And then number two, tell Jesus what your takeaway is and ask him to help you with it. Help you to follow through. In a few minutes, we'll be done.